Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 392. We might be finishing this mini-series here about justice and the abuse of it. In other words, the law of Moses, what God gave Moses, what God gave Adam and Eve, what God gave all the righteous men after him, what Noah lived by, what Abraham and Isaac and Jacob lived by, you know, a way of justice, a way of truth. As God told Abraham, be you perfect, you see. Walk before me, and later on he said of Abraham, he kept my law, my statutes, my judgments, you know, my charge and all that. So they all walked in that way of life, and that's why they qualified to be in those positions and in, you know, for eternal purposes also in the future, not only in their lifetime that they walked with God and they were rewarded with certain things, but the major, obviously, the major promises that God gave them, and he's going to give them in the future in the resurrection, was based on the fact that they walked in justice, in judgment, in kindness, in mercy. They feared God, you see. And unfortunately, the people of Israel have not. And all the prophets, after Moses, God was, you know, sending them because his people were not obeying the law of Moses. And because of that, they were always in a horrible mess. And he had to punish them many times, and they never listened. Then they come back for a little while, then they go back again. You see, as the proverb says, you know, that the dog goes back to his own vomit, and later on, the disciples of Christ mentioned that too. In Jude, I believe, he mentions that one too. But now we find ourselves toward the end of time, right before the coming of the God of Israel in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Well, he sends another of his prophets, John the Baptist, and he comes on the scene to a people that were under the boot of Rome, basically because of, when you study the history of the time, you see there wasn't a lot of corruption in the land, a lot of infighting, a lot of infighting that was among the king, you know, the royalty, you see, the Maccabean, they were murdering one another, and there was a lot of evil there, and then Herod took over, an Edomite, a Jew by religion, but an Edomite, brother, twin brother of Jacob, which was an irony because he should have been follower of the God of Israel all the time, you see, from his father, Edom. But, you know, Edom went his separate way as time went by, and his children went a separate way and became totally idol worshippers, totally forgetting God, while Jacob, at least, more or less, remained with God on and off, mostly off, you see. And here it is, a fine situation where Edom is there. That means, you know, the twin brother of Jacob ruling over Jacob, where Jacob should have been the one ruling over him. And the whole land was in a mess, and everybody was fighting, and there was a lot of evil there, a lot of corruption, a lot of immorality. That's why you read about an awful lot of harlots at the time, you see. The whole society was not functioning, it was dysfunctional, as it is to this very day. Things have always been the same when people reject the law of Moses, not only among the people of God, but on a worldwide basis. And so God is now sending this messenger, as you read earlier in Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. You see? And so this messenger appears on the scene, of whom also Isaiah the prophet speaks. And so we read in the book of Matthew, people call it the gospel. You know, that's human invention. God didn't call it the gospel. Matthew just wrote a letter there. He recorded what happened, you see? And then religion that took over appropriated Christ and some of his teachings, you know, began to invent his own terminology, and gospel is just one of them. This is the disciple Matthew, and this is what he's writing here in chapter 3. In those days, verse 1, John the Baptist, Yohanan HaMatbil in Hebrew, see, baptism was an ancient thing. People think, you know, that's the first time baptism was practiced. No, Israel was always practicing baptism. A lot of those instructions were given by Moses. You see, the priesthood had to be baptized. Oftentimes, the people had to be baptized when they came before God. God told them, Moses, you go down and ask all of them to wash their clothes. That's what it means. Go get baptized. And so it's an ancient instruction. And this John, that was his intent. Just like Moses went down and baptized Israel, you know, in other words, all of them, you get baptized. So now John is going to perform the ceremony for Israel to prepare them before they can come before God, just like God told Moses, you go prepare them, you know, so they baptize their bodies and wash their clothes, you know, baptize their clothes too, before they can come before me to receive the law. Well, here is John the Baptist is preparing Israel to come before the lawgiver who came down to Mount Sinai earlier. And now he's coming in the flesh, in person, to his people. And so that's why we read here, John the Baptist, he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. In other words, if you have no information, no context, no background, no knowledge of the law, you would not understand even what you are reading here. John the Baptist. Why is he called John the Baptist? Why is he coming to baptize? What's the reason for it? You see? Well, you study the entirety of the matter, then you know. You become a wise and not a fool, as many are. And so what message is it going to give them now in order to baptize them? Verse 2, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What happens if they say, well, the law of Moses is done away with? You see, we're not under law, we're under grace, under faith, as people say to this very day. You see? Well, it wouldn't do them any good. The sacrifice of Christ, the preaching of Christ, the teachings of Christ, you see? It would be meaningless. That's exactly the same message that later on, when Jesus came in person, the God of Israel. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Well, John said it in essence the other way around, because that's basically the way it's supposed to be. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, if you don't repent, there isn't going to be any kingdom for you. You see, because God is going to, ultimately speaking, he said, so the people were going to rebel against his law and would not accept it. He said, okay, that's the way you want it. He's going to create a fire, a literal fire, you know, a physical thing. And he's going to throw them into it, and they're going to be consumed and become ashes. That's the lake of fire God is speaking about. Not the fairy tale fable of hell. A place where you go and you burn, and you burn, and you burn, and you go on forever like that, you know, sort of an eternal torch. You see? That was a pagan idea that was invented, not in the mind of God, but in the mind of the demons and the devil and all that. Taught it to people through his own servants on this earth, his own false prophets. Now he says, you know, you repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So Isaiah spoke about it, Malachi spoke about it. In other words, God was the one speaking through them. Verse 4, we read about John, the way he was wearing, and then verse 5, we read the consequence of his preaching, you know, when he began to preach, well, that's what happened, and the reason why it happened is because God was stirring their spirit. It's not because they were fascinated by John, you see. People don't do those kind of things unless there is something there that is moving them, and God was the one really moving them, because he sent him to prepare the way. And so we read the consequence of that, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round, you know, the Jordan went out to him. So what do you find here? The people of Israel who know the law of God, who know the law of Moses, who know that the Messiah was coming in their day, the Deliverer, the Savior, the King of Israel, they knew all these things. They were not ignorant and blind. It's only later on the rabbis deceived them. You see, when Christ was crucified and they thought, what on earth happened here? You know, he was supposed to come and deliver us, and he didn't. So he must not have been the right one, because they misunderstood. You see? Even his own disciples did not fully comprehend it. And so later on it became altogether something different. But in the beginning, including the Pharisees, the good, the bad, and the ugly among them, you see, they all came. A lot of them. And many priests. You see? They all came to be baptized. Because they all knew what was happening. You see? So the religion that is called today Christianity, which people don't understand what it really is, did not begin with rejection of Jesus Christ, but began with the acceptance of Jesus Christ by basically the entirety of the Jewish community. And it's only when it turned to be something else, when he did not deliver them because they thought that that was the time when he was going to deliver them, just like all the disciples at the end of their life, they thought he was coming in their day. When that did not materialize, that's when they thought, well, it's got to be an imposter. He's not a true one. He's just a liar. Just one of those that we had, one of many. You see? So you have to understand the beginning of the story in order to comprehend what happened at the end. And so all Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about went to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. You see? Because if you do not confess your sins, and what is sin? Transgression of the Torah. What Torah? The Torah God gave to Moses. They knew that they were transgressors of that law of Moses. You see? They were honest people. And that's what you find out, people that came from Jerusalem, all Judea. It doesn't mean every single one of them came, but an awful lot of them came. And basically, the entirety of the nation was predisposed to the preaching, to the teachings of Jesus Christ. You see? But things turned to be otherwise when their expectations were not fulfilled. When he did not come to deliver them as they thought from Rome and from all the evils all around. You see? Even many of the followers of Christ departed from him as time went by. Even during his day, you see, when he preached to them certain things, like you read in John, it says many of the disciples walked with him no more. And then after that, many who really followed him and became baptized and got the Holy Spirit, thinking all this time that he was coming in their day, and when that didn't happen, many of them also gave up the faith. Well, it's been always happening like that with the people of Israel, the people of God. You see? And so this is what we find here. They were confessing their sins, the sins of the transgress against the law of Moses, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, so they too were coming. You see? And he is the one that came to prepare the way before the Lord, and they knew it. Because they knew Isaiah, and they knew Malachi, and they knew who is coming. And so they were coming to be baptized. But the difference between them, unfortunately, many of them and the others, their heart was not in it. You see? Because they were transgressing an awful lot of the laws of God, and they knew it. And yet they deceived themselves to believe that they are the servants of God who are teaching the people the law of God, the law of Moses, when then themselves were transgressing it. And so he was not about to accept them. You see, he was not in the business of getting as many members as possible, and who cares what they believe in. That's what the pagan church had done later on. You know, let all the Gentiles come. Well, we don't care what they believe in. We'll just call it Christian. We'll christen it. What do you say? Change names. And a lot of people don't realize that. One of the doctrine of the pagans was worshipping the mother and son. And that's been going on since the days of Nimrod. And even the children of Judah, during the captivity, as we mentioned earlier, in the days of Jeremiah, they worshipped the queen of heaven. Nothing new under the sun. You see? And so all these people came, and they were not confessing their sins when they came to Christ. And these people in particular, when they came to John to be baptized, to be prepared for the coming of Christ, they were not confessing really their sins. They were bringing their sins with them. And that's how the pagan church came all about, you know, and that's what Christianity is all about. People who did not come to confess their sins against the law of Moses, they just brought their vomit with them, and they just christened it. Well, God is not a fool, you see, and his prophets are not fools. They don't accept any of that. And John the Baptist was not about to baptize them. And so that's what we read here. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, you know, you brood of vipers. You see, that's contrary to the statement, how to win friends. He was not about to win friends, so he was not interested in that. He was interested in truth in the inward part. And so I said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Because they knew that it was coming. And all of them, unfortunately, they thought that it was coming in their day. And in their day, an awful lot of wrath came, but that was not the ultimate one. And that's what confused many of them. Because the captivity was coming, the exile, the destruction by Rome was coming, but that was not the end of the world. They just thought it was. But in other case, they knew that God was going to bring wrath. Why? Because people were forsaking the law of Moses right and left. You see? And there was a lot of iniquity in the land, a lot of transgression, and a lot of moral ills. You know, the society was full of evil, of wickedness, of ills, of crime, of robbers, of thieves, you see, of adulterers, of immoral people, of harlots, and so forth. And so it says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, the one that warned them were the prophets. And so they knew that this is happening here, we better repent, but their heart was not in it. So he told them, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. First you prove it. Then you come here and I'll baptize you. And he says, do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, so what? You know, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, so what? You see? I'm a rabbi, so what? Your works before God will testify to what you really are. You see? Otherwise, everything else doesn't mean anything. And that's what he's saying to them here. That's what God always said to his people. That's what James was saying. Do you believe in God? That's nice. So what? The devil also believes and he trembles. Demons believe and they tremble. So what? You believe in God. That doesn't mean anything. Some people say, well, I believe in God. So what? That doesn't mean anything if you do not obey his law. The law that he gave to Moses. The law that he amplified through the prophets. The law that he amplified through the disciples. And he did it in person when he came in the flesh 2,000 years ago. If all that is not there, everything else is just a lie. And the overwhelming majority of people are living a lie and deceive themselves. You see, so when they come before the prophets of God, you know, in this case, John, Yohanan, which means the grace of God, he was not about to accept their hypocrisy. And so he told them, you know, you therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, start obeying the law of Moses, not just teach it. Walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And he says, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. Abraham can do nothing for you. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. You know, if he wants to, he can do that. And even now he says, he's warning them, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Well, he himself thought that that was the end of the world in his day, just like all the disciples later on. And so he said that. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the only way you're going to bear good fruit if you are obedient to the law of Moses. There is no other way around it. You cannot invent your own righteousness, your catechism, your halakha, any invention that people come up with. You see? Christian doctrines, Christian values, Christian this, Christian that. You see? If it's not the law of Moses, if it's not the words of Jesus Christ, if it is not the very law that Christ himself said, I did not come to do away with the Torah, but to fulfill it, your religion is a lie. It's all in vain. And when we come before the judge of the whole earth, be it in the Christian community or the Jewish community, he will tell all of us, get out of here. I don't even know you. Because you are not obeying the law of Moses. You are lawless. You got your own law, but it's not mine. It's a mixture of truth and error, and it's vomit, and it's unacceptable before him. You see? So nobody plays games with God on either side of the community of Israel, or for that matter, any other religion on the face of the earth. Because all they have invented their own doctrines, and yet the claim is from God. And only those who follow in the very faith of Abraham, and Abraham did obey the very law that God later on gave to Moses, for the descendants of Abraham. That is, children of Israel. As for the other descendants of Abraham, unfortunately, they began to go their own way and became idol worshippers. You see, that's in essence what Muhammad was trying to do, learning from the Jewish traders that he worked with and the Christian traders that he worked with certain things about the Bible. Of course, he himself couldn't read it, but whatever he read there, you know, he was trying to bring his people who were idol worshippers at the time, and, you know, they were all pagans, to at least, you know, have a measure of truth, of light there. You see? You know, there were some good intentions there. But obviously, if everything that is said and done and taught is not in accordance with what God taught from the beginning of time, what he recorded through Moses when he came in person and gave it to him, well, then you got a problem with that religion. And until all the children of Abraham come to his faith that he obeyed, which God gave Moses, it's not a different one, obviously with some additions, then it's all in vain. And so that's what he says here. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, so therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit, if you do not obey the law of Moses, you cannot bear good fruit. You see? Because everything that came after it was based on it. And that's what he's saying to them. is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. So it's still the same story. And because people do not believe that, even though they call themselves Christians, a whole religion based on lies, mixture of truth in it, yes, but much of it is lies, because to begin with, when he said the law of Moses is done away with, when he said there is a God of the Old Testament, a God of the New Testament, when it is the same person, when he said there is that old religion and the new religion, and we're a replacement of the old religion, you're all liars. Plain words. Now, this in other words of men. Because that's what Christ is going to tell all of you. You're liars. You're lawless. You do not believe in the law of Moses that I told you to keep it and obey it. You see? Get out of here. Well, if this is what you want, continue to walk your own merry way. And when the blind shepherds, you know, lead the blind, unfortunately, they all fall into the same ditch. And that's why God is commanding His people, come out of Babylon. Because all of God's people, you know, with very few exceptions, are in Babylon. Still with a mixture of truth and error, and God does not accept it. And yet God does not want anybody to die. He does not want anyone to perish. But if you are unwilling to repent, as John is saying here, return to the law of Moses. That's what he was teaching here. That's what the apostles were teaching. That's what Jesus Christ was teaching. The Torah of Moses, that he gave to Moses and commanded all of Israel to come back to. Well, the consequences would be total destruction. So you have your choice. That's what Moses was telling us to begin with. You got a choice. Either death or life. You make the decision. That's what Christ was saying. By every word that proceeds out of your mouth, you shall be judged. We are ultimately our own judges. We'll determine the verdict, not somebody else. And so that's what the law of Moses here was being preached by John. But obviously, people are not listening. They're doing their own thing, doing whatever they want. And the people of God, and unfortunately, generally the leaders, are the greatest transgressors, oftentimes, of the law of Moses. Well, they were doing their own thing. And so as Christ was preaching to the entirety of the nation, because many of them were baptized, remember, by John, and they were confessing their sins, and they were repenting. You see, so he always had followers by the thousands wherever he went. You see, and even when he came to the temple, and many of the priests followed him, as you read later on in the book of Acts, multitude, many thousands, and many Pharisees, many, many of them followed all the way. Not all of them were evil, not all of them were wicked. An awful lot of the Pharisees were obedient to the faith, you see. A lot of people in their ignorance in the pagan religion called Christianity, they think, well, a Pharisee is a horrible thing. That's what God commanded His people to be, a Pharisee, which means separate yourself, come out of the world. That's what it means. You see? So there were some good ones, some bad ones, just like you find in every basket, you know. There are always some rotten apples. And so you do not take rotten apples and you claim the whole basket is evil. And that's what the pagan religion, the hypocrites, have done to the people of God, to the Jewish community, their own brethren. You see? They proclaimed all of them evil instead of making a distinction there. And unfortunately, on the other hand, you know, the rabbis, you know, and they like to pretend that everybody who is Jewish is righteous, you know, and the others are not. And so there are lies on both sides. Any one of us who transgresses the law of Moses is an evil person. God doesn't make any, you know, doesn't make any difference to God whether you're a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, anything. And that's why, ultimately speaking, it says the whole earth is going to obey the Torah, for the Torah shall go out of Zion. That's the law of Moses. Unless the whole world is going to come back to the law of Moses, which he gave to Israel first to give to all mankind, ultimately they're all going to be ashes. So let's understand the message for what it is, not for what some people have made it to be on either side. And so Jesus Christ, dealing with all of his people, finally he comes. Well, he did it several times, but here we have a chapter where he deals specifically with the leadership that you would have known better. And so he begins his discourse here. A lot of people are aware of that, but they do not understand the whole story. Chapter 23 of Matthew, verse 1, then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples. You see? He spoke to the multitudes because the multitudes were following Christ. They wanted to hear what he has to say, and many of them were in agreement with him. And then he had his own disciples in terms of the specific core that he had chosen. So this is the distinction between the two, but all of them You see, all of them were obedient to God because all of them were, you know, basically speaking, were baptized, you know, and by John and confessed their sins. So you're not talking about only a few disciples that followed him, and all the rest are evildoers. You see. Now, true, among them, there were people who were not necessarily as honest as they should have been. But look, you know, you have to look at it from God's point of view, the way He teaches it. That's the history of His church, again. Verse 23, that's what He says here. He's speaking to the multitude, His people, that's His bride. He's her husband still. He's still alive. And to His own disciples, just like saying, you know, speaking to the people and the prophets, you know, that He sends. And this is what He tells them. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What is Moses' seat? You see, there was a literal seat that they sat on. And that's how they had on the Sabbath in the synagogue, the Bible study. The Bible study when you study the Bible. What does it mean, the Bible? The law of Moses. That's what they studied. And then they read the prophets. So they said, okay, they're sitting in this office. Fine and good. No problem about it. But, you see, if what they teach is not in accordance to the law of Moses, now you got to have to make a distinction. And there you have an issue to deal with. And so he says, they sit in the seat of Moses. And he acknowledged that, and he accepted that, and he did not speak evil of that, as people think that he did. And they didn't put themselves in that seat. God allowed them to become, you see, the teachers of Israel. Why? Because the priesthood that should have been teaching Israel were not doing their job. They became worldly, you know. At the time, there was a Hellenism. And gradually, for quite a while, they were being drawn into it. And they got to the point where the people just didn't trust them. And so the righteous men who wanted to continue to walk in the law of Moses became by default the teachers. And God accepted it. And that's what happened then. And that's how the Pharisees ended and the scribes in that position. And there was a lot of righteousness in them. That's why he told people, you know, his people, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness, not the unrighteousness, but the righteousness of the Pharisee. And what was the righteousness of the Pharisee? The law of Moses. What was not the righteousness of the Pharisee? When they invented law, they were not of Moses, and when they were also hypocritical, teaching something and doing something else. So it could have come both ways. And so he tells them, therefore, and that's a command from Jesus Christ, that when you come to a Pharisee and to a scribe who sit in the seat of Moses, in other words, when somebody opens the book of Moses, regardless of what his name is, and teaches you the law of God, you better listen, or else. And that's what he says. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. How many in so-called Christianity obey this law of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ? Very few. Because the majority of them have been taught the law of Moses is done away with. You don't listen to a Pharisee. You don't listen to a scribe. You see? It's not the person. It's what he says. And if what he says is the law of Moses, it's truth. Even if he is the devil himself, you better listen and do. You see? That's in essence the ultimate of this statement. And so he says, these people are sitting in the seat of Moses, and they're teaching Moses, and people are learning Moses, and they're obeying Moses to the degree that they understood and comprehended, to the degree that they were honest, and all that he said is good and fine, and you better listen to them too, or else. And he gave that command to the multitude and to his disciples. So how many to this very day, people who call themselves disciples of Christ, people of Christ, followers of Christ, Christians they call themselves, how many of them obey this command? And if they don't, they're all liars. That's why when they would come at the end of time, Christ will tell them, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not do what I say? And I told you to obey the Pharisee and the scribe who taught you the law of Moses. At that time when he was there, or any given time. That's why the disciples of Christ, and we have historic records, and even the Catholic Church maintain those records, and they're still there to this very day. That the followers of Christ, they call them Nazarenes, who remained faithful. Of course, they didn't recognize them as such. They call them heretics by now. What has been heretics, those who continued to walk in the law of Christ and the law of Moses, they became heretics, and those who departed from it, who believed lies, they became known as the true followers of Christ. And the people, being ignorant, didn't know their right from their left and followed this lying into this very day. They believed this big, big lie. And so he told them that. You obey the law of Moses. Whatever they tell you to do, you do. But now comes the difference. Do not do according to their works. For they say, and do not do. That was the work he's talking about. In other words, don't be hypocrites, like many of them were, like many are to this very day, everywhere on the face of the earth, in every given religion. You see? And so you find it among rabbis, you find it among the clergy, you find it everywhere. Hypocrisy and lies and deception, you see, and not speaking the truth from the heart and not doing things justly and not fearing God and not worshiping God and not governing people in the fear of God and in the law of God, you see, you find it everywhere on the face of the earth, whether people know God or not. Whether they're Jews, whether they're Christians, whatever they want to call themselves, you find an awful lot of hatred and malice and darkness and hypocrisy and bigotry in every given religion, in every human being on the face of the earth to one degree or the other, and all of us, barring none, are guilty of it. And when we acknowledge that and we repent of it, God forgives us. And if not, we're playing games. And so that's what he's saying here. Don't follow their works. In other words, follow their teachings. Do what they say, but don't follow their example. And when people do not know the difference, and they say, well, forget all about it. I don't want any of that. You become a fool and a disobedient and a rebel against God and against His law. God didn't tell you just forget all about it. He told them plainly, when they teach Moses, you better do it or else. Just don't follow the hypocritical example. And so that's what he's saying here. And then he gives example of what they do. You see, he says, you know, they bind heavy burdens, you know, they invent all kind of laws. God didn't give those kind of laws. He told them very plainly through Moses, this is my law, this is the law of God, don't add, don't diminish. And that's exactly what he said they were doing. And that's what they're doing to this very day. They decide what is of God and what is not. Not what the law of Moses, not what he himself in person, not what his disciples say is the law of God. You see, and so he says, don't follow that. So, they bind all kind of heavy burdens, and they are doing it in every given religion on the face of the earth. And they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers, and you find it in politics. You know, they make themselves above the law, yet they make all kind of laws. Every day they make laws. You've got so many books, nobody knows all of them. Nobody knows all of them. It's impossible to know so many laws that they've invented. You see? And yet they themselves are not abiding by their own law. Oh, it's good for others, but not for us. So that hypocrisy is in religion, it is in politics, it is in the business community, in education, everywhere. That's what the world is all about. You know, they're all rebellious people, even to their own laws. And that's what he said. Don't follow this kind of an example. So in essence, just like today, if your politicians are hypocrites and crooks and all that, and some of the laws that they made, you know, are good, that doesn't mean that you say, well, you know, who needs it? You know, forget all about it. You know, they're crooks. I'll be a crook too. No. If the law is good, follow it. Because God wants people to live in truth and harmony and unity and order. You see, not in chaos, not in anarchy, not killing one another, cheating one another, robbing one another and all that. Regardless of the hypocrisy of the politicians, you see, regardless of the hypocrisy of the clergy, regardless of the hypocrisy of anybody, anywhere, if the law is good, do it. You see, if it is for the good of the nation, the good of the people, the good of the society, of the community, you better abide by it. Otherwise, what are you going to end up with? Chaos and confusion and anarchy, and everybody does that which is right in his own sight, and everybody's miserable one way or the other. That's what he's saying. Learn to distinguish between the truth, between the good, between the evil. You see, don't lump it all together, which a lot of people do. An awful lot of people forsook religion because of that, because they saw so much hypocrisy in religion, And they said, who needs it? You know, this is religion, I don't want it. If this is God, I don't want it. Because they've never been told the true religion. You see? And the leaders have never been genuine themselves. And that's why God is going to deal with all mankind. All are going to pay the penalty, yes, for their own individual actions. But the leaders are going to get it the most. That's not going to be a comfortable place to be. And so he says, everything that they do, they're just doing it for show. Verse 5, all their works they do just to be seen by men. That's what politicians are all about, you know. They've got their people that make their, you know, their image creators just to make them look good. There's nothing genuine about them, generally speaking. Very few of them are honest. All of them are hypocritical and liars, and they do things just for show. You see, this is not a quality that only is found in religion, it's found everywhere. But the greatest transgressors are in religion because they are the ones who appeal to the highest authority, God himself. At least a politician doesn't. You see, and others don't in the business community. Yet all are guilty in transgressing the law of Moses that commanded any area of life, that guided every area of life, that instructed every area of life. So whether you are in politics, in construction, in business, Moses dealt with all those things because God gave it to him. You see, so nobody gets scot-free of anything. We're all going to reap whatever we sow, and ultimately sow. And so, you know, he's describing all those kind of things that they do. Verse 8, he said, you do not be called rabbi, or verse 7, let's read verse 7. Actually, you know, every verse that you read here basically describes, you know, what the people on high are doing. High and the mighty at every given level, you know, just for show, for vanity, for this and that and the other thing. You find them in entertainment, you know, why do they call them idols? Why do they have fans? Well, they're all after the praise of man, not the praise of God. You see, they want to be greeted. Politicians like to be greeted, you know, wherever they go, they want to have a crowd, you know, so they invent, you know, those crowds oftentimes they bring their own people and they pretend like, you know, they're praising them and doing all those things, you know, to make them look good in their own sight. And it's all lies, lies, lies. He says, that's the way my people are. That's the way human beings are all around the earth. But obviously, he's speaking to people that you should have known better, and so he concentrates on that. And the Bible, basically, when you think about it, an awful lot of it is a book of condemnation of his own people, of exposing human nature, of hypocrisy, of evil, in his people and in all of mankind. Because we're all human beings made of the same stuff, unfortunately, and we all have to contend with the same devil. And so he says, verse 8, but you do not be called rabbi, don't be called master, that's what it means, or teacher. And speaking in sense of the ultimate, and because obviously he himself appointed teachers to teach his people, but the people that like to call themselves the teacher, you know, people hang around, you know, and go tell everybody, I'm the teacher. And so he says, do not be called rabbi. That's what it means. Great one. Rav. You see? Rav comes from the word rav, many. Great. Lot. You see? And rabbi, that's what it means. The great one. Don't be called, call yourself the great one. That's what rabbi means. For one is your teacher. One is your master. The Christ. And you are all brethren. In other words, don't exalt yourself above one another. As later on, we'll shall come back to the book of Deuteronomy and come to chapter 17, giving the law of the king. What kind of an attitude he should have. You see? In other words, also be governed by the law of Moses. You're all brethren. Care for one another. Be submissive to one another. Don't exalt yourself above one another. You see? And you do that in every field of life, whether it is in religion. Don't afford someone is the great one. Whether you're in the business community. You know, the boss is not the great one. You see, if not for you, he wouldn't exist. So you all depend on each other. So function as brethren. And yet people are afraid of the boss, are afraid of the supervisor, afraid of this and afraid of that. You see, we all live our life in fear. And all that is demonic. It's not of God. We're all his children and should behave as children. And when you sit around his table, you act like a family. Nobody's bossing around, you know, the other person. That's why he commanded them. Don't be overlords over God's heritage. That's what the Apostle Peter was telling the leadership. And God told them, Jesus Christ told his people, you know, Gentiles are like that. They like to overlord it over people, to be called benefactors and things like that. So don't be like that kind of people. You're all brethren. You see? And people learn that when they learn the law of Moses. That you're all sons of the living God, treat each other with the royal law. Love your friend, your brother, as yourself. Don't treat him as an enemy. You know, don't look down on him. Don't put him down. And yet people are not following the law of Moses. And so you've got all these problems here. So he tells them, don't call yourself by these titles. You know, I'm the CEO. Who are you? You're nobody. Or I'm so-and-so, and you're nobody. We're all children of God, and yet we need to have all these kind of games that we play among ourselves. And so he says, do not call anyone on earth your father. Anyone who is not really your father. And you basically have three fathers. The El Elyon, the Most High God, he's called your father. That's the overall father. Jesus Christ himself, the God of Israel, is also called the Father, you see, but not, he's not the Father, but he's the Father because he created us, he begot us, you see, he's a creator, that's one of his titles, the everlasting Father, you know, unto us a son is born in Isaiah 9:6, a son is given, one of his titles is the everlasting Father, why? Because he created us, that's your second Father, and your third Father, you see, that begot you, is your Father. Your literal father, your parent. You see? As for the others, you know, even though you have the spiritual leaders, and they, in essence, they teach you the truth, they sort of beget you, just like Paul said, you know, in Christ I have begotten you. You see? Though you have many masters or many fathers, you don't have, you know. So, you know, there's a spiritual title of a father, but it's not a title, you see? So that's what he's saying here. Just like you should not come up, you know, with this title of rabbi, great one, you should not come up with this title of father. And how many people who call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, obey that? They despise this, you know, these teachings of Jesus Christ, and they call themselves fathers, and they are not. Where did they get that from? Not from God. You see? They are in abject rebellion against His law. And in this case, this is not even the law of Moses, because Moses was not dealing with this issue. You see? Christ is the one that gave the law to Moses. He's the one speaking here, and he's the one telling his people, don't call anybody a father. And yet people do. Why? Because they couldn't care less about what God says. They would like to invent their own religion. You see, and then they claim that God is on their side and they're on the side of God. They're all liars. They said, don't call anybody on earth your father. If he's not your parent, really, your real parent, don't call him a father. You see? It does not mean, you know, your stepfather cannot be called your father, or it does not mean your grandfather cannot call your father. Well, he's not talking about that. He's talking about spiritually speaking. Don't let anybody pull that, you know, that title on you. You know, I'm the father. I'm father. And yet people do in a certain, you know, segment of a society. That's what they do in over religion on this earth. And you know who they are. You see? They are disobedience to the law of God from head to toe. From the head of them, you see, to the little ones that call themselves fathers. They're all disobedient to the law of God. And of course, they'll have reasons to go around it and justify it. And, you know, our authority is over the Bible, and, you know, we decide, you know, and so forth. Well, if you want to go for those lies, go for it. It's your choice. And so he said again, and do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. And again, speaking about the spiritual title, because God appointed teachers to teach His people, but He did not tell them, you give yourself the title, the teacher. You see? And yet when they take it upon themselves, basically they are creating an idol worship religion. You look up to me. We are not the teachers. We teach the people, you know, the people of God, the law of God, yes, but we are not the teacher. God is the teacher, and all we are doing is we're just taking His word and giving it to you. You see? And yet when people proclaim themselves, the rabbi, proclaim themselves the father, or father, or proclaim themselves the teacher, God says that's a no-no. Because if you do, you're going to be a transgressor of the law. And many are, and yet they claim to follow God in either community. And so it says, don't do that. But he who is greatest among you, because that's the reason why they gave themselves those titles, you know, they were great in their own eyes. They said, the one who is greatest among you, let him be your servant. So a person, instead of coming and saying, I'm your rabbi, or I'm your father, or I'm your teacher, should come and say, I'm your servant. I'm here to serve. I'm not the boss. I'm serving the boss, who is my boss and your boss. You see? In plain language. And yet, people are not listening to that. And because of that, he told them in his day, and he tells them to this very day. Verse 13, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, and all of those who read these words and despise them and deny them and do their own thing. That's what Christ calls them to this very day. He's not talking only about those people at that time. He's talking about any given human being on the face of the earth, anywhere on the face of the earth that does it in any given religion. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. Again, greetings to all of God's people. This is Mordecai Joseph. Until next time.